Hello again, friends and neighbors. It's the daily respite you've been waiting for. This is Pastor Bob, and it is a holy Saturday, September 25th, and our 48th installment of Daily Respite. And today we come to the week's end of our week with Richard Rohr, Father Richard. And so today we'll get a nice summary of each of the days we've had with him. And then he'll close with another devotion, a guest devotion, so to speak. So we've got that to look forward to. And without further ado, let's turn over to Father Richard. You know, his weekly theme this week has been, what do we do with money? And here is our summary. And then following our summary of each day, we'll have a practice for us, some practice suggestions for us to live out these principles. All right, let us settle in. Take a breath. Find that still, quiet spot. There it is. Let's begin. On Sunday, we learned that money and soul have never been separate in our unconscious, because they are both about human exchanges, and therefore divine exchange. On Monday, Richard Rohr taught us the reign of God is a worldview of abundance. God lifts us up from a worldview of scarcity to infinity. On Tuesday, Father Richard said, I believe personal evil is committed rather freely because it is derived from and legitimated by our underlying unspoken agreement that certain evils are necessary for the common good. On Wednesday, Father taught us, money becomes evil when rights are not balanced by responsibilities, and responsibilities are not balanced by rights. When these are balanced, money can do a great deal of good, both for the giver and the receiver, and hopefully for others. Amen. That's a principle I've talked about before. The principle of blessed money. When money is used for the right balance in life, the harmony between the kingdom of God in this world, then money blesses everybody who's involved with it, who's touched by it, the giver, the receiver, others. When it's not done in balance with that, money stains everybody, including the receiver who's getting wealthy off of it. They just don't realize it yet. Staining the soul. Anyway, let's move on to Thursday. Richard Rohr says, we don't deserve anything. Anything. Indeed, it's all a gift. It's all a gift. To understand the gospel in its radical transformative power, we have to stop. Are you ready? Counting, measuring, and weighing. Now, I think those are three things we have to stop doing, but I'm going to stop counting, so it could be different. Counting, measuring, and weighing. By the way, including each other. Let's be qualitative spirits in the world, not quantitative. And Friday. Remember, we heard from Sally McFagu, and here's what she had to say. Could the crazy notion of self-emptying, a notion found in different forms in many religious traditions, be a clue to what is wrong with our way of being in the world, as well as a suggestion of how we might live differently? And now our practice section for today, second half of the devotion. is called letting go of things. And this is right in sync, of course, with our current PRC book study going on at Vine Street on Christian minimalism. And we'll be meeting again this Sunday at 6 o'clock for that book study. Everyone's invited. As I've often said, it's like a college class. You don't have to have read the chapter to come. All right. Letting go of things. Let's start with the scripture. From Matthew chapter 6, these are verses 19 through 21. You've heard this before, but now you know where it's from. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Minister Adele Alberg Calhoun believes that by simplifying our lives, we bring ourselves into greater alignment with God's will. Jesus wants us to know that we don't need all the things or experiences we think we do. What we really need is to keep first things first. Jesus and His kingdom. Life becomes much more simple when one thing matters most. Simplicity creates margins and spaces and openness in our lives. It honors the resources of our small planet. Simplicity offers us the leisure of tasting the present moment. Simplicity asks us to let go of the tangle of wants so we can receive the simple gifts of life that cannot be taken away. Sleeping, eating, walking, giving, and receiving love. Simplicity invites us into these daily pleasures that can open us to God, who is present in all of them. Aging has always been about simplifying and letting go. Sooner or later, we realize that we can't manage all the stuff and activity anymore. We have to let go. The practice of letting go and embracing simplicity is one way we prepare ourselves for what is to come. One day we all will have to let go of everything, even our own breath. It will be a day of utter simplicity. A day when the importance of stuff fades. Learning to live simply prepares us for our last breath while cultivating in us the freedom to truly live here and now. And finally, here are some of the practices for simplifying that Calhoun suggests. Uncomplicate your life by choosing a few areas in which you wish to practice letting go. Clean out the garbage, the basement, the closet, the attic. Go on a simple vacation. Eat more simply. One of those things. How about this? Intentionally limit your choices. Do you need 6 different kinds of breakfast cereal? Do you need hundreds of TV channels? Or for that matter, do you need 4 tennis rackets? What is it like to limit your choices? Does it feel free? Or do want and envy surface? Talk to God about this. Here's another one. If someone admires something of yours, give it away. Find out just how attached you are to your things. Again, another. Make a catalog of all the gadgets you have in your home, from the dishwasher to the lawnmower. Which gadgets have made you freer? Which could you share? Which could you get rid of and not really miss? And finally, and this is our closer today, consider it our benediction. Where have you complicated your life with God? Consider what actually brings you into the presence of Christ. And then spend time there. That is all.